the 10th and the final of the Aseres Hadibros is Lo Sachmo, do not covet. As the Torah tells us here, Lo Sachmo, Beis Reyecha, you should not covet your friend's home. Eishes Reyecha, certainly not his wife. Va'avdo, Va'amoso, Va'shor, Va'chamor, V'chol Hashel Reyecha, or anything that he possesses. In the second version of the Dibros in Parshas V'eschanan, the formulation is slightly different. Instead of saying Lo Sachmod, which it does there, but it also adds, instead of the second Lo Sachmod, it adds Lo Tis'aveh, which we could translate not as covet, but as desire. There's a huge halachic discussion way beyond our scope, whether these are two mitzvos or one. And there's also a huge debate about, even if they're two components of one mitzvah, but what is the difference between the two? Many different opinions, but just briefly, we'll just mention the Rambam's opinion in the first chapter of Hilchos Gzela. The Rambam says that Lo Sis'aveh actually comes first. That you violate from the moment you have this desire, where you start thinking about and planning how you can get the item. From the Rambam, at least, again, beyond the scope of the shir, but from the Rambam itself, it seems that the desire itself may not be prohibited by the Dibros, but once you start thinking about and planning, even if you actually haven't done anything, you violate Lo Sis'aveh. And what is Lo Sachmod? Once you've actually then started the process, which the Rambam describes is basically significantly hichpira love, you're urging, you're pressuring, you're pushing, hiftzirbo, you're pressuring the person to sell it to you, to give it to you, and important condition, according to the Rambam, and this is based on earlier sources, you're actually successful and you get the item, then, even if you paid for it, but you pressured him and you pestered him until he gave it to you or until he sold it to you, that is Lo Sachmod. Lo Sis'aveh is the moment you start thinking about it. Lo Sachmod is once you start the urging, the pushing, and the pressuring. What is so bad about this Dibro? As we've seen with some of the other Dibros, I think very fascinatingly, there are, based on the different Mefarshim, a series of, I would say, concentric circles or complementary problems with these issues. And as we've seen previously, it is true as well for Lo Sachmod. So one group of Mefarshim say that at the heart of coveting is an even more basic midah, and that's the midah of kina, of jealousy. And jealousy is a rotten, rotten trait. The Reishis Chachma, the Maseil Sisharim, and others say this deplorable trait is the root of everything, and it'll ruin your life. As the Pasuk says in Koheles, Ohev Kesef Lo Yizba Kesef, if someone loves money, no matter how much he has, is never enough. And the Medrash commenting on that Pasuk in Koheles says, such a person will never be happy because no matter how much he obtains, it won't even be half of his desires. In the Maseil Sisharim's beautiful and striking formulation, envy, kina, imprisons a man for life. So Lo Sachmod, according to many of Farshim, is simply an outgrowth of that very basic and base and debased attitude of jealousy. A second approach, the Vilna Gaon, others highlight, based on a famous comment of the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra we'll get back to because it has another application later, but the Ibn Ezra and then the Gra and others developed this, say, you know what the real core issue of Lo Sachmod? It's a deficiency, it's a chisaron in your emuna, in Hashem, and specifically in Hashkacha. We believe many sources, the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Ches, others, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he knows what everyone needs, and he apportions and he gives us exactly what we need. We don't get too little, but we also don't get too much. And therefore, if you truly believe that everything you needed, Hashem has given you, there would be no reason whatsoever to be jealous, let alone to covet and to pressure and to nudge someone else for their property. It doesn't make any sense. A true believer realizes that what Hashem does not wish to give you, you will not get. Whatever God does not give you, you will not get. And therefore, it makes no sense to be covetous, to have that chimur, if you truly believe that Hashem gave your neighbor what he needs and gave you what you needed. Having that covetousness is in fact a violation of a principle of emuna. A third complementary understanding, suggested also in Maseil Sisharim, but even earlier by the likes of Rabbeinu Yonah, the Kar HaKemach, Rabbeinu Bachaye, and that is that this level of obsession with someone else's material objects is a reflection of an overall problematic approach to physicality, to materialism, to gashmius. Someone who is too drawn after material desires, and as a result, not only does he want what he has, he wants what everyone else has, and that distances him from what truly matters in life. That is the spiritual. Rav Hirsch says so beautifully, it's not only a sin against Hashem, it's a sin against yourself. Because you're robbing yourself, you're enslaving yourself, and you're keeping yourself away from what should be your true and proper and pure ambitions. The Pasuk says that we should love Hashem b'chol levavcha. We have to love Hashem with all of our heart. But if we have such envy, such covetousness, and such desire for other people's things and materialism in general, then in fact that's taking up too large a segment of our heart to truly love Hashem. A comment made by the Sfasemes, Ksav HaKabbalah, and others. The Kara Kemach, I mentioned previously, that's an encyclopedia of Jewish ideas by the Rabbeinu Bachaye. He has a pithy turn on this, which again, I don't know if it's true halachically, but hashkafically, consistent with this idea that according to this approach, the problem with Lo Sachmot is an overemphasis near obsession with materialism. So he points out that if that's the case, not only should you not be obsessed with and have over desire and covetousness of your friend's possessions, you should not covet too much your own possessions. That is to say, don't love your own money so much that you don't do the proper things with it. If a person is so obsessed with money, ad kedei kach, that he covets other people's things, and he's so obsessed with money that kal vachomer, he's not going to want to let go of his own material items, his own money, then he won't use the money that he's as the way he's supposed to for mitzvos, and even specifically for mitzvah. In fact, the Kara Kemach suggests as a remez, that's why this is the 10th Dibra, a remez to giving Maiser, a tenth of your money. Three different approaches, excuse me. Again, there's maybe even more, but for sake of time, we'll leave it at that. Three different, each powerful, and each complementary, and when you add them all together, wow, is this a bad, bad Aveira and a bad Mida. Jealousy is a bad Mida, a Chisaron and Amuna, and an over emphasis, if not obsession, with physical pleasures. Lastly, I want to conclude by discussing the connection that this Dibra has, number 10, to the first Dibra, Anochi. You know, we have the leadoff hitter, number one, Anochi, and the concluding act, that of Lo Sachmod. Question is, why does the Dibros end with this, and why is it paralleled, why is it the bookend with Anochi? So some suggest that it's based on the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra we mentioned previously, but there's another part of the Ibn Ezra, which is world famous, where the Ibn Ezra asks a question, a very famous and fundamental question: how could the Torah prohibit us in this prohibition of Lo Sachmod? How could the Torah tell us how to feel? Aren't emotions beyond our control? What about the notion that the heart wants what the heart wants? You can tell me to shake a lulav, you can tell me to daven, you can tell me to go to shul on Shavuos, you can tell me to eat cheesecake, but how can you tell me what to feel or what not to feel? And the Ibn Ezra explains that this is based on a faulty premise, and that we should realize that emotions, in fact, aren't independent of ideology or philosophy or hashkafa. If we have the proper perspective, as the Ibn Ezra we mentioned previously, that everything is b'hashkacha, that Hashem gives us what we need and what we deserve, and Hashem gives our friends and our neighbors what they deserve, and that we're not going to get what we don't deserve, and they're not going to take it from us, and we won't get it from them, and everyone has what they need. If we had that proper belief, if we truly, truly believed it, then it would just simply make no sense to be jealous of what our neighbor has. Jealously obsessing over something that doesn't belong to us is antithetical to that belief. As we've seen previously, he gives a very famous mashal that someone who's growing up as a simpleton, a commoner, someone who lives, you know, in the outskirts of town, the poorest of the poor, growing up, he sees the beautiful princess in the castle. Does he actually have a desire to marry her that then is frustrated? Not at all. He doesn't even have a desire at all. He doesn't have a chimud. He's not in violation of Lo Sachmod, it's Eishes Reyecha, for the princess. Why? Because it's not even Shayach. It's beyond his wild imaginations. Says Ibn Ezra, you should look at everyone down the street from you in shul, in school with you. All of their possessions are as wildly unrelated to you as the princess was to the simpleton and to this commoner. That idea that Ibn Ezra uses to explain the whole idea of how the Torah could command us on the emotion, so to speak, of Lo Sachmod. So Rabbeinu Bachai in the Kara Kemach uses this to explain how Dibra number 10, Lo Sachmod, is related to Dibra number 1, of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God. Because if you really, really believe in Anochi, then you won't question his Hashkacha and the way he's running the world and what he's given to you and what he's given to somebody else. You'll have no desire for what Hashem has given others. But if you do desire it, then that it reflects a lack of belief in Hashem and will certainly lead to an increasingly alienation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Secondly and finally, I want to share a beautiful idea which I've written about and spoken about in other contexts. That's something that I've heard from Mori Rabbi Rav Rosenzweig. He himself has discussed this in public forums, where he phrases the question as a way of getting into his main answer slightly differently, which is, why is this Lo Sachman of all things the crescendo of the Aseres HaDibros? I mean, we start with such lofty ideas, Anochi, monotheism, Lo Yeh, don't believe in idols, God's name in vain, very abstract, beautiful, elevated, sublime, philosophical, theological ideas, Shabbos, the Sabbath, oh, these are elevated ideas, Kibbutz Av Em, the foundation of society, family unit, parents. And then we transition to all these difficult things like murder and adultery. Okay, they are very upsetting. They're not as inspiring as the first set of Dibros, but still, they're core foundations, important things, murder, adultery, kidnapping, theft. But we end, of all things, on Lo Sachmo. Don't be jealous of your friend's donkey. Don't be jealous of your friend's fancy new car. I mean, it just seems like such a letdown from where we started. This is the crescendo of the Aseres HaDibros. And Rosenzweig also answered based on the Ibn Ezra, but in a slightly different way than we mentioned previously. And that is to say, what we see from the Ibn Ezra, as I alluded to before, is that there's a fundamental statement the Torah is making with Lo Tachmod, that the Torah can demand of us self-control and perfection over our emotions. That's how much the Torah can expect from us. And if we follow the Torah, we're committed to it, that's how great we can become. Even our emotions, it's not just our actions. The Torah's ultimate goal isn't merely to legislate what we can and can't do, but rather is to transform the way we think, not only about the sublime, the first few Dibros, but even about the mundane. And not only about the nature of Hashem, but even about our material possessions. And in that sense, said Rosenzweig, Lo Sachmod is the perfect bookend of the Dibros, the perfect complement to the first Dibra of Anochi. Because what Anochi is the same idea, but not about emotions, but about thoughts. One could ask the same question. How can you tell me to believe in God? I don't believe. How can you force me to believe? You can force me to put on tefillin. You can't force me to believe. And the answer is, again, the premise of the Dibra is yes. There are ways that a Jew can adapt, adjust, even someone who struggles, and get to belief. Yes, the heights of spiritual ambition are represented by these bookends. Anochi in the world of thought, Lo Sachmod in the realm of emotion. Anochi and Lo Sachmod are the perfect complements, the perfect bookends to the Dibros. That this, so to speak, mini constitution, if you will, of Judaism and these 10 basic principles. Not only are there many actions that are obligated and prohibited, but it's so much more than that. It's even how we think, it's even how we feel. And in that sense, the Dibros are truly an emotion, a powerful and inspiring anthem of the Jewish people in the Torah, and Anochi in the realm of thought, Lo Sachmod in the realm of emotion, perfect bookends and an ideal crescendo to the Aseres HaDibros.